Good morning, church. How are we doing today? Well, thank you. It's the 31st of August, and it's the day before spring. So, seriously looking forward to the sunny days and the long days as well. Now, Rian did a great communion message earlier on, and he talked about how he cannot be David. Now, what is interesting is I'm here to talk about the same character today. So what we would like to aspire for is for us to be like him in his courage. And that's what I'm basically going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to be talking about the common ground that we get to stand on as people of different generations. Come on now. Amen. So in these generations, you've got the Y generation, you've got the only if generation, and you've also got the when generation. But eventually, we're going to get to a point where we talk about the wow generation. Not just the wow generation, but the wow generation. Repeat after me, church. Wow generation. Come on. Amen. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can see your hand in the beautiful weather, Father God, that we have outside in front of us, Father God. I pray, Father, that you please guide us this morning, Father God, into finding out how it is that, that as much as we are from different generations, Father God, how we can stand on the common ground of worshiping and serving you, Father. Thank you, Father, and I pray all this in the mighty name of Christ our King. Amen. Amen. Let us start speaking about some common things in our lives. What is common in our lives? Can anybody put their hand up and answer? Gelito? Food? Anybody else? Fear is one of them, isn't it? Fear is one of them. Now, all of us have got our different fears. And we can be fearful of the dark. Some people are afraid of the dark. And even though I'm an adult, but there tends to be times when I'm afraid of the dark. You know, there'll be that character in a movie that goes muhahahahaha in the background that you're afraid of. The person that might just come out of nowhere and pounce on you. So some people are afraid of spiders. And some people are afraid of failure. Others are afraid of losing a loved one. But I personally am afraid of change. Who else is afraid of change? Wow. Now, I've got a younger sister who's 15 years old. And she's a teenager, and I must admit that, and I'm confessing to you teens, I'm afraid of teens. I'm petrified. Because you guys are very complicated. You're amazing. That's a compliment, by the way. But the thing that I fear about my younger sister is that I used to be cool to my younger sister a couple of years ago. But now I've become old school. There I was with a T-shirt with her face printed on it on the last day of grade 8. And she thought it was cute. But she didn't necessarily think that it's cool. Now, as an older brother, I've been afraid that, you know, my younger sister's going to be exposed to all the bad things that happen out there in the world. And that's the reason why I've been afraid of change. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 17 to 29 reads as follows. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Now early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. Remember that, as he had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Now on that day, church, there were three generations. And the first one that we're going to look at is the Y generation. Now, who or what is the Y generation? Scholars say that David could have been between the ages of 13 and 15 when his father Jesse gave him specific instructions to take supplies to his brother Eliab, Aminadab, and Shammah, and the commander of their unit as well. Like all other teens, David arrived at the battlefield and he asked questions. What is one of the most common questions? That word that all of us who used to be teens would ask. It's why. That word is why. Now, just to give an example, a parent says, "Charlie, please clean your room." And the answer usually is, "Why?" "Sipo, please go wash the car." And the answer is, "Ma, why do I need to go wash the car even if it's not mine?" Those are some of the questions that we get. Did you know that this generation is called the Y generation, even by psychologists as well? Now, it's not the Y, as in YMCA, but Y as in WHY. I, however, think that teenagers have always been asking why. It's not just you guys, don't worry. Even when we were teens, we used to ask questions like why, how, what, who, and can't. Those are some of the questions that we used to ask as teens as well. It is said that teens ask questions more than any other generation. Now, I don't know how true that is. Wait, but there's a positive to this. For 40 days, this guy called Goliath would keep on walking onto the field and people were afraid of him. But it took one person, a teenager, to change the course of history. So teens, how are you using the questions that you have and the energy to change history? Now, there was also the only if generation. Now, to those of you that are between the ages of 20 and about 45, That's the only if generation. Just like most of their men, or rather the men of Israel, are the ones that were fighting in the army, Eliab, David's brother, fell under the only if generation. You don't have to turn there, but just as background, Numbers chapter 1 verse 45 states that for you to join the army of Israel, you had to be 20 years old and older. So David clearly was very young. So I'd say that from round about the age of 20 to 45, that we go through that stage where we all think, only if. And I'll give you a few examples. Now let's allow our imaginations to stretch a bit and think what the only if generation would say on the battlefield. So just imagine, Only if Goliath was my height, I would have taken him on. You know, I would have taken him on. It's fine. Only if we had more numbers, we would be able to win this battle. Aye, man. Only if David wasn't here. You know what? Ha, this guy Goliath, I would have shown him a kung fu move. Like Eliab, the only if generation has it all figured out. They're sure that there's just one thing that stands between them and their breakthrough. Just like Eliab, I can reason a lot and limit God in doing great things in my life. Now, if you're between those ages, you are like Eliab as well. Only if spend so much time thinking, only if, and they miss seeing the possibilities of God doing great things in their lives. But wait a minute. Did Eliab ever, just for a moment, stop to think that had he been brave and stopped thinking only if, that he might have been the one to conquer Goliath? That's just a thought. By the way, only ifs don't get along very well with the Y generation. Now, the reason for that is the only ifs think a lot, while the whys get there and they just say, ah, why can't I do this? That's why Eliab said to his younger brother David, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. The only if generation tends to shift from the things that God has in mind for them. Most of the times, the only if generation has the following on their minds: work, school, life, and all other distractions of life. But somewhere in the middle of our only ifs, we need to find out what God's vision is for us. Now, the last generation is the when generation. Who do you think belongs to that when generation? Now, the when generation is the one that you'll probably hear the following words from. When I was a young man, I was tall and strong. I could have taken this chap Goliath single-handedly. When I was a young man or a young woman, I had big dreams. Who remember the advert that says, oh, Vuyo, he's such a big, big dreamer. Exactly. It's the lady who is more mature in years that does that. Now, on that day on the battlefield, there was a showdown between two great men. One of them was Goliath. The other one was King Saul. And did you know that King Saul, at some point, used to be the most handsome and the tallest man in Israel? So what is interesting about this is it's two men, two tall men that were up against each other. And unfortunately, King Saul was too terrified for him to take Goliath on. Church, is this the natural progression that we all tend towards as believers? Do we tend towards a point in our lives where we no longer see the possibility of God doing great things in our lives? Do we end up looking at our declarations from lenses at a distance, looking at the declarations, the dreams and the visions that God has for us? Do we look at them from a distance and think, you know what, one day I used to be there? Or do we still have those visions that God has for each and every one of us? Now, on that day, there were three different generations. Now, these generations were on the battleground, and you know what, they were gunning at each other. There are three generations this morning that are sitting here. The why, the only if, and the when generation. Now, the scene ended off very well in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, though they were different, God made all three generations realize that he could work even in a young man who loved him. My question is, do we recognize each other's importance as people of different generations? Because if we desire to fight on the spiritual battlefield as a body of Christ, we need to see that. As we sit here this morning, let us remember that our desire to glorify God is the common ground that we stand on. If you are wondering about the wow generation, or rather the wow generation, it is not governed by age, by the way. So then, who belongs to this wow generation? Let's find out. Those on whom the Lord pours His Spirit, they're the people that belong to the wild generation. The wild generation is the generation of the promise. It is the generation of people who stand in awe of God's works. And you know what they do? They go, wow! That is what they do. They are like the people whom Joel spoke about in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. Let's turn our scriptures, or rather turn up our Bibles there. The scripture reads, "And afterward I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." Note, church, that the word spirit is not a lowercase spirit. It is a capital letter or an uppercase spirit, which means that Joel was speaking about the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord Almighty. The Apostle Peter referred to this prophecy as well in Acts chapter 2. Church, today we are part of that wow generation. The young, the older, and the mature in years. Now, as Peter continued to address the crowd in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 verse 39 reads, "The promise is for you and your children, and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Now, we are different generations, but we're standing on common ground. And what is this common ground? It is glorifying God, but we need each other. And what will work practically? What will make us going in this direction of standing on common ground? Now, there are some practical things, and for those of you that know me, I tend to be a very practical person. So I had some thoughts, and these are not commands, these are merely suggestions. They're suggestions to say, hey, try this out. Now, if you are mature and advanced in years, and you've never done this before, why don't you set up an appointment with somebody from the Only If generation? Go out and pray together. Listen to music. Play sports. Or even talk about sports. Watch rugby. Find out what the latest trends are. And hey, you can even go dancing or even talk about dancing with that person. Now, here's something very interesting that I think the teens know quite well. Selfies. Now, a selfie is a self-portrait. And a suggestion would be, if you're going to hang out with somebody, hey, take selfies together. Put them on Instagram. Put them on Facebook. Share memories with each other. Because, like the teens say, YOLO. And what does YOLO mean? You only live once. Now, for the studying, working, only if individual, ask the ones that are younger than you if they can hang out with you. You know what? You can set up a day of adventure where you go hiking with somebody that is younger than you. Or you can even set up time with somebody that is mature in years, and you can also do something together. Take a Mike Renton, for example, hanging out with Khujan, and them finding out more about each other. That would be amazing. Now, we can also talk about technology, we can also talk about trends, we can also talk about sports. There are so many things to talk about. Now, there's a sister that hung out with a brother that just so happens to be transitioning from the teens. And And what that sister did to create memories with that brother was for her to make a survival kit for that brother. Now, it's not a survival kit where you need a backpack or something like that, but it's a survival kit that teaches you how to maneuver around Cape Town. And there were various things inside of that survival kit, but to this day, this brother still speaks about that survival kit. Now, I'm not going to mention who he is or who the sister's name is, but let me just say this, that the brother stays in the same flat as I do. And that's for you, our young, our beatboxing, our fun teen. Don't limit what God can do in your life. Live up to David's reputation. Hey, you're not going to be him, but you can at least live up to his reputation and have courage. And go out there and prove to people that Christians are not boring. Remember what we talked about on Friday. People think Christians are boring, but what does Jesus say? He said, I've come to give life and to give it to the full. Now, those are definitely not people that are boring. These are fun people. Something else, teens. Remember to always obey your parents. Now, you may ask, why? Because God wants you to be obedient. Why? Because godly values are going to teach you how to survive in life and make the right decisions. And finally, why? Because they love you more than the world does. And one day when you are a parent, you know what? Their values are going to stick on your heart and you'll be able to use them as a parent as well. In conclusion, I'd like to read the following scripture. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 12 to 14. It reads, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. There are three generations that the Apostle John mentioned in that scripture. Now, God will continue to wow each and every one of us. Even though we are of different generations, as long as we know that we need to stand together on common ground. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father,